Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record that they love.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nut job, but not that kind of nut job.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh no!
Just realise I do a strange thing when I'm in a rush and I want to open a bottle of drink. Look what I'm doing here. What am I doing that's different?
You're turning the bottle rather than the
I'm
lid.
I'm turning the bottle instead of the lid. To drink my flat Coke. I've got flat Coke because my stomach is not in a great place. I turn the bottle instead of the lid. Good evening, dear listener. The Late Night Alternative, Monday to Friday. Ian Lee, who are you?
Catherine Boyle.
Tell us about our next guest, please, Catherine Boyle.
Well, Camilla Constance is someone we read about in the online papers the other day when we were going through of the sexy stories, let's be honest.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily a sexy story.
This is a very sexy story.
It was sexual.
I mean, this is from the Mail Online. Mother who spiced up her 16-year marriage by taking two lovers and having a string of flings with both men and women is now a sex coach who counsels couples while they are in bed.
Now,
that's what caught your eye, let's be honest.
The thing that caught my eyes of my head and my face was the thing about sitting in while people are having sex and perhaps critiquing them.
Giving them some pointers.
I don't know if she holds up scorecards at the end of that, but we'll find out. We've got Camilla Constance on the line now. Good evening, Camilla.
Good evening. No, I don't hold up scorecards.
It's an idea. I don't know if you blow a whistle if they go in the wrong hole. I don't know.
No, that's not how it works.
Tell us how it works. I found it fascinating. Go on. We'll do the background in a bit, but one of these sessions, how does it work?
Well, so my whole approach to sex and sexuality is it's all pleasure-based and it's all about, is it kind, is it beautiful, are both people having a really deeply wonderful, pleasurable, gorgeous, delicious time?
Ooh.
Very often when couples come to me, one or other of them isn't having a gorgeous, delicious, sensual, sexy time for all sorts of different reasons. So really what they're doing is I'm creating the space where they can come into the space and I can identify, because very often within a couple, because there's all this... I'm being careful with my language.
Thank you.
There's a lot of conditioning that is not helpful.
When you say conditioning, do you mean stuff that they've learnt as kids and older about what sex and what relationships are meant to be?
So to begin with, we as parents don't talk to our kids about sex at all in this country.
Yeah.
We wait until they're teenagers, until the right time, and then that right time, they're too embarrassed to talk to us about anything, let alone sex.
Yeah.
So parents don't have the dialogue. Schools are no longer having the dialogue. So... And then there's a background of conditioning from the church and from society about how girls should behave and how boys should behave and what's expected. But it's all kind of subtle. It's all these subtle, discreet messages that no one actually kind of has the conversation. And then to top it all, where do young people go to learn about sex? They go and learn about it from porn.
Well, this is the thing now. I've got two boys who are 7 and 9 and Kath's got girls of similar ages. I'm so worried about them learning about it from, you know... I watched porn when I was 14, 15, but there was one tape that went around the school.
Right.
You know, now they're going to have it...
It's all full, hardcore
stuff we couldn't see. In their pockets. It's in their pockets.
Yeah. And it's not a helpful message and it's not particularly... It's not kind sex. It's not loving sex.
No.
And when I say loving sex, I don't mean sex has to be in the context of a committed loving relationship, because, as you know, that's not my background. Well, it was, but then it was also... I think a one-night stand can be deeply loving. It can be a beautiful, intimate connection between two people. And sex can... And so a lot of what I work with a tantric philosophy, it's very much about connecting the heart energy with the sexual energy, and that's what I bring to couples in the bedroom. So when people come to me and they say, actually, we're finding it really difficult to have this conversation together. We find it difficult to be together. We find it embarrassing. We don't know how. We just don't know where. It's just really awkward.
But then if they're finding it difficult, I have been in sexual relationships where neither of us have been very good at communicating.
Yeah.
And I have been in, I would say, one sexual relationship where actually there has been an honesty and an openness and a real... There's been no shame. That's the thing. There's been no shame around it. And we've been able to say, I wouldn't mind having a go at this. Would you fancy that? Would you? But if a couple are having trouble being intimate with their partner, how on earth do they then get the confidence or the courage or whatever it is to go, well, I know, let's go and see Camilla and let's get Camilla to sit in with us and she can... Because the initial reaction is...
The sitting in is very much at the end of the process.
Okay.
So really, by the time it gets to the point where they might want to come and actually work with me in person, we've developed a relationship
through
Skype or Zoom. We've been working online for a while, or we've been having sessions in person, but not in the bedroom space.
Yeah.
And then it might just evolve, and they just kind of get... the question that comes from them, so it's never something I suggest. I don't ever suggest them, hey, do you know what, I think we'd be really good viewers if I come and join you.
Right.
And it never comes from me. It's kind of, it'll come out of... Could you help with that? Or could you show us that? It's very often, could you show us that? So I'll be trying to describe how to stroke or how to touch, and I'll be describing how our bodies are fairly similar and different, but it's similarities that actually is where... If you know your own body really well and you know your own pleasure really well, A, you can ask much more easily your partner what to give you, but also you have an indication of what he or she might like because you know your own body. And if it pleases you on your body, because our bodies aren't actually that dissimilar, you will know how to please somebody else. And that is so much easier to show them in real life.
Why are we so embarrassed about sex? I say, I'm 46, and, you know, up until the last couple of years, last year, I've been too embarrassed... ashamed. I mean, there are things that happened to me that were when I was younger that kind of conditioned me, a little bit of abuse. Seeing my dad not being great around women and the way he treated them. And I've learned all of this stuff about being ashamed and too afraid to say to the person I'm supposedly in love with, could you put your finger there and do you mind if I lick that?
Yeah.
And we're ashamed. It's a really tough thing to say, isn't it?
But as you say, it's the conditioning. It's the way you're raised. It's what's modelled to you. So one of the really... What I hope, and I don't know this yet, but what I hope is that because of the journey I've had whilst my kids were quite young and as they're growing up, and I've been very open in ways that some people might find uncomfortable, but, for example, I was not at all uncomfortable about that Mail article being published earlier this week because my kids knew it all.
Your kids are grown up now, aren't they?
They're 15 down to 11.
Oh, OK, sorry, I thought they were older.
Grown up.
OK, no. OK, right.
But there was no discomfort to me in the thought that they might see it, and as it is, they haven't looked for it and they don't want to read it because they're a little bit embarrassed by my job. But that's fine. But the point is that they couldn't... If they did go to look for it and find it, there would be nothing in there that they would learn that would upset them because they know it all already.
You're brilliant. Let's have this conversation. I came out as bi a couple of weeks ago, Camilla, after doing... Oh, look at that! I got a celebratory cheer. There you go.
Oh, that's such a celebration.
Thank you. And I said it on air, and it's I've been doing a lot of therapy because of a divorce and because of a horrible... Loads of stuff going on. And we kind
that
of worked out...
That is such a healing thing for you to say and for all your listeners to hear. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Camilla. And I said it on air a couple of weeks ago, and it got into the papers and all of that stuff. And most people were like you, were brilliant. A couple of people said... You shouldn't be talking about that because my boys are 7 and 9. Your boys are going to find that. They're going to get teased at school. And I found it really confusing because everything I do in terms of what I reveal on the show, my kids are always... I consider my kids and how they're going to react.
Yeah.
And I feel that I am... By doing this at some point, we might have an awkward conversation at some point, but they're going to realise that you don't have to live a lie... That you can be open and honest and that there's no shame in this stuff. And I just was told by a couple of people, you shouldn't have done that. You're going to embarrass your kids and they're going to hate you for that.
And you know whose kids are going to be happier, more well-adjusted adults, don't you?
I think so. And I notice I'm not saying definitely because I'm still wavering a little bit, thinking maybe it was totally the wrong thing. Maybe it was a selfish thing to come out and say something like that. I don't know.
Give them permission. This is my very strong belief about my children, is it gives them permission. So I was having conversations about me being polyamorous when My youngest was 5.
Right.
And his response was, I have more than one friend in the playground. Why shouldn't you? And I'm like,
wow,
yeah, the bed is quite a good playground.
Yeah, kids get it.
You know? And to them, it was, like, really obvious. To them, it's really obvious that you enjoy playing with more than one person. But there was absolutely no judgment. But that was because they were... My honesty and my openness and my sharing with them came before their embarrassed years. If I shared that story now with them, I think they'd all squeal with pain.
Yeah, of course they would. But then that's also part of our jobs as parents, is to, we've got to embarrass them a little bit from time to time.
Yes, of course. But I really, truly believe that they have grown up. So first of all, my daughter has grown up knowing that sexual pleasure is a female entitlement and right.
Mm.
And that if you are not enjoying something sexually, then you just say no to it. That there is no consent without pleasure.
That's a really important lesson, isn't it, Camilla? As a mother of daughters, and, you know, I grew up in a household where I was one of two daughters, and my mum was always really open. My dad didn't want to know about any of that stuff, and he left it to my mum. But thank God we could ask her anything, and often she would give us more information than we asked for. But I've noticed amongst women my age and older, and maybe a little bit younger too, that there is a real disconnect between what's above the waist and what's down. It's still a little bit of embarrassment there, you know. There are loads of products that are designed to make us feel like we're not clean enough, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And all that is so hard to overcome, but you've got to, haven't you?
Mm. Yeah, totally. And then only today I read in the paper that choking has become a standard thing in couple sex.
Hang on, sorry, what?
Choking.
Choking.
What, actually strangling
today.
Them? What?
But, what's it called, asphyxiation... Erotic asphyxiation.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It used to be a very niche thing.
And that's become a standard.
It's become a standard, and women are consenting to it, and I say this in inverted commas, because they think it's standard sex, and this is what they need to do.
This has come from porn, has it, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Right, gosh.
It crossed over from niche into mainstream.
Ay, ay, ay.
Because of porn, and that disconnect, that women feel that they've disconnected their pleasure from sex. They just don't understand that their pleasure is the most... That's, like, no one should do anything in life, full stop, in my opinion, unless they're getting pleasure from it. And I accept there are certain jobs we have to do and earn money, blah, blah, blah. There are certain... Like, I really hate cooking and shopping and doing the washing up and all that, but I accept it's part of my role and I just have to do it. But with sex, why would anybody do anything sexually that doesn't give them pleasure?
Mm.
It makes no sense to me. But these women are consenting to this act because they feel they have to be desirable or cool or something.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what?
It's because those women in porn are doing it, so it must be all right. Maybe it's just me being a bit funny about it. I don't want to be unsexy.
Normal.
Yeah, that whole thing. But a lot of porn, I mean, I think that there are moves towards making pornography that is less about the man dominating or the man or a lot of it's quite brutal, and when the men get involved, I find it quite off-putting. But there is a lot. Yeah, sometimes I think that's the case, you know, and you think this has not been made with women in mind. This has been made for men to feel power. I don't even see the sexiness in it.
No.
But there are moves now towards making more kind of...
There are some awesome
feminist kind of porn, yeah.
Yeah, really, really awesome women out there.
But we're still a little way back, aren't we? The majority of it is.
When did... we talk about this a lot, more than is probably healthy, Camilla. When did the stepdaughter, stepdad, stepmom, when did that become a thing?
Incest
for cowards. It's a really, you know, I look at porn and it's always the thing that comes up. This is a stepmom seduces her stepson. What?
Isn't it like the most popular thing at the moment?
It's huge. This is where we are.
I'm so naive.
Oh, you didn't know that. We educated you. God, if we're educating Camilla, what does that say?
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record that they love.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nut job, but not that kind of nut job.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh no!
But also, and I get totally what you're saying about how women and young girls are affected by porn and subservience. But also, it does affect men. Yes, men think, yes. Well, my dick isn't big enough, I'm not lasting long enough, that guy's, you know, doing it for an hour and I can last 30 seconds.
Also, am I supposed to treat her like that?
Am I supposed to strangle her? Am I supposed to slap her? What is this?
For me, the huge sadness is the interaction between the male and the female has just been destroyed by the world of pornography, because actually what men really love in sex is giving, yes, and receiving, but really giving pleasure. It's like this profound shift happens in a man when he pleases a woman and she kind of awakens and becomes his goddess. I mean, it's life changing for a man, and I don't really understand why that is, but it's just a constant theme I hear from my clients. What I really want to do is please her, and of course that's then kind of been twisted into women needing to fake in order to prove that the man has pleased her, rather than actually just being genuinely grounded in her pleasure and feeding back to him.
By the way, what a great phrase. And when she becomes his goddess. Wow, that's a great phrase. I love that.
But it is kind of a revelation when you realise you're both on the same side and one person isn't waiting for you to perform, you know?
Yes, and there doesn't need to be any performance. There just needs to be connection, and there needs to be this curiosity, this playfulness, this connection, this just pleasure, just exploring pleasure. But what porn has done is it's warped how men see themselves as sexual partners, and there's this perception that really hurts them. And I see so many really wounded men because they think they're odd. And they come to me and they say, I just want to stroke her and kiss her and make love to her, but I feel I ought to be doing something else, and all my friends will laugh at me if they find out what I'm doing. What he doesn't know is that all his friends have the same problem and the same worry, because they all think they're meant to be doing what they see in porn. So they think there's something broken in them because they want to be intimate and kind and caring. Now, how warped and messed up is that you've got people who think that they are broken because they want to be kind?
Yeah, what a shame.
And then the next step on is that the neurotransmitters that are stimulated by porn actually really mess with a man's sexuality. So increasingly we're seeing men presenting with erectile dysfunction. Because
that's a huge problem, isn't it, at the moment, because of porn?
Huge problem, yes, because essentially the dopamine that rewards novelty that is fed very rapidly through porn doesn't reward you with a real-life woman, because, funnily enough, she just isn't quite...
Here's another thing that you may or may not know. This is a problem with porn stars, is that in the old days you'd have a fluffer that would help you get erect and all that, but now that isn't working. So if you're quite often, male porn stars who are filming, you know, quite an intense, kinky, in inverted commas, scene, that's not working for them. A fluffer isn't working, so they then have to go online and look at even harder porn so they can get it up for the scene that they're doing. It's incredible. You need to listen to, I think I heard that from the John Ronson podcast.
Yeah, it's so good.
What was it called?
There was one called The Butterfly Effect.
The Butterfly Effect. You should listen to that, Camilla. It's really, really, Catherine will send you the link after an email.
Thank you.
Really good. He investigates kind of the porn industry, and I think you might find it interesting. I think you might find it really interesting.
Yeah, I think it would.
It's such a good series.
Sad.
Yeah, really sad, because you would think that with all this we would be becoming more enlightened, but it sounds like actually our horizons are becoming narrower.
Yes.
And what? Okay. So we're talking about, and I'm finally in a place where I can be open with my partner in the bedroom and say, "How about this? Do you fancy that?" And I'm happy to listen to suggestions. But then, if you're open, it can be difficult if someone says something that you're not that keen on. You know, she says something to me, or I say something to her. What then are the rules? Are the rules if you think you're not that keen, but you want to please them, it can be hard to say no, can't it?
Yes, but what I'd throw back at you is, are you genuinely pleasing someone?
Right, yeah.
If you do something that doesn't give you pleasure. It's faking again, isn't it?
Yeah, and if the shoe was on the other foot, would you want to feel that someone was going through the motions for you?
What I'm trying to get at, and this is, I don't have a specific example that I'm thinking of, and is it worth trying something that you're not, there may be things you're completely revulsed by, but maybe you go, I don't know, is it worth trying it because you might love it?
So a really good example of this is feet. There are lots of men out there with foot fetishes. For one reason or another, men fetishise feet quite often.
Uh-huh.
And they are embarrassed to mention this to their partner because they're worried that they'll be humiliated, they'll be shamed, that something negative will come back.
Yeah.
So what I think the first rule is that you create a safe space within your relationship where you can bring up anything, and then the response is always, it's always a kind response. So it can be a kind rejection. It can be, actually, I'm not very comfortable with you sucking my toes, but I don't mind, but maybe I'd be happy with you giving me a foot massage.
Okay.
To start with.
Yeah.
But the rule, as I see it, would be that the understanding is that you have a safe container in which you can raise anything, and you will be listened to with respect and kindness, and then that person will respond to you with respect and kindness. And then, and I don't really want to use the word negotiate, but you have a kind conversation where both people can raise what they want and their concerns. So we do this in the coaching modality I use. We do this in quite a formal way where you would talk about your fears and your desires on a regular basis as part of learning how to communicate. So my fears in this situation are, my desires in this situation are, and always what I love about you as well. So love, fears, and desires. And that's a really good container, it's a way of formalising the safe container and talking really openly.
Do you, when you're going back to kind of your job and stuff, and we're going to we'll plug all the website and all of that in a minute. It's really interesting talking to you, Camilla. Thank you. We'll have to get you in the studio one night if you're ever nearby. So when you're in a session with a couple and they're, I was going to say having it away. What a terrible, when they're making love.
When he's uncovering her goddess.
That's it. Thank you. She's better at this than me.
A vile rumour.
How does it work? Are you naked? Are you sat there with a clipboard? Are you
definitely no clipboard?
No clip. I said clip, by the way. How does it work? Are you hands on? Are you going, you might want to try it round that way? What is the deal?
It totally depends on the couple, and it totally depends on what they've asked for and what they're comfortable with. So I'm thinking back. I don't think I've ever been fully naked with a couple I'm coaching.
Right.
But
I like the way you have to think about that.
So, for example, if I'm trying to show him how to massage her breasts, and it would help to move my breasts, I'm not going to do it wearing a bra because my breasts don't move when they're wearing. I'm wearing a bra, so I have no issue with nudity. I'm very comfortable with nudity, and if they're getting into a place where they are nude in front of me, and it is more comfortable for me to be nude with them, because that's the atmosphere and the energy in the room, then I will do that. If there's a sense that that's not right, then I won't. It really, I know it sounds like I'm trying, it sounds like I'm being a politician and I'm avoiding the question, but I'm genuinely not.
Yeah.
I really cater my sessions to my clients, and I understand, and I talk quite a lot with them about how they want it to be shaped and how they want it to evolve. So one of my really big things that I teach couples is massage. I'm really, really, really massively keen on tantric stroke, erotic massage. I'm really, it's such an amazing way to give pleasure and learn about each other. And very often that involves me being hands-on. Because if I want to, for example, show a woman how to stroke him...
Yes.
I'm not sure what kind of words I'm allowed to use. Can I... So if I
say
want
it.
To show a certain stroke on his penis...
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Do you mean toss him off?
No!
No, okay, I've gone too far. Right, sorry.
What I mean...
I love the fact I'm shocking Camilla.
What I'm doing is I'm trying to train people away from that.
Right.
Because the toss him off is just the same action, and it's really, it's disconnected.
No.
It's not thoughtful. he's been doing the same action for years and never felt anything different. She's kind of watched it and thought, I'd back out my wrist and I don't want to be... It's an extended, lengthened, really beautiful erotic massage where you use loads of different strokes and different techniques to take him on a pleasure journey in his energy, which is just kind of mind-blowing.
I love this.
Through that, she really learns about him. And that's really difficult to teach without demonstrating.
Yeah.
So I will do that. And then equally, I'll show him how to pleasure her. And I'll say, this is the way to stroke her labia. Not with your fingers, but with your palm. And I'll demonstrate it. Because when I do it, because I know how to do it and I do it really well, she'll quiver with delight. And he'll go, oh, my God, you can do that. You can make her do that.
Like, yeah, wow, brilliant.
Now do it. So I do get really hands-on because it's so much quicker and it's just so quick and profound and transformational, and why wouldn't I? Because that's what I can offer.
I wish I'd had a conversation with someone like you in my 20s or even my 30s. Honestly, I've wasted so much time looking for love and sex in all the wrong places and going about it completely the wrong way. And I've had decades, Camilla, of embarrassment. And in shame in the bedroom. And I think there is an epidemic of that. And I think people like you I get so annoyed. You probably saw these stories about the schools in Birmingham where people were protesting outside because of they were having gay lessons, you know.
Acknowledging that such and such
might have two dads and such has got two mums. That's all it is. And people seem so afraid. And I think as a nation we're screwed up when it comes to sex. And I think people like you, Camilla, are doing great work to be more open about sex and more... And yeah, you know what? It's kind of fun to snigger about it and be a bit carry on. But actually... there is a lot more behind it as well, and we should just be a little bit bolder, perhaps.
So, you know what, when you allow yourself to enjoy it, it is just the most beautiful, pleasurable, amazing thing, and it costs nothing. This is the thing, it's like, we spend a fortune on meals, on booze, on drugs, on whatever. We spend a fortune trying to create actually what we can get for free in the bedroom.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a thing that is just mind-blowing. It's like... orgasmic sex is way better than any drugs, and it's really good for you.
We should hang out as a recovering drug addict. I can totally agree.
My God.
I talk about everything on it, Camilla. Don't you worry about that. Hey, listen, it's so nice to talk to you. Seriously, if you're ever near London Bridge one night, you're very, very welcome to come in. If you ever want to come on and plug stuff, just drop Kath a line.
I'm going to definitely bear that in mind.
Please do. You're very welcome. Where is the best place if people want to find out more about you?
My website. www.camillaconstance.com.
CamillaConstance.com. Camilla, and Kath will send you the link for the John Ronson podcast because I think you'll really enjoy it, actually.
Yeah, I would appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much for your time, Camilla. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Camilla.
She was brilliant.
I love her. She's so good.
She's great. And it's, we have a little snigger about sex, and that's okay. But actually, if we could just be a little bit more... She was shocked by how much I was giving her, man. In terms of revelation, I loved her cheer at the start.
Well, her work is in unlocking people. Yeah. So for you to be able to get to that place, you know, obviously, I'm sure she would appreciate how long it's taken for you to be able to say half of that
stuff.
She
was good. I enjoyed that. Phone lines, yes, I know, but erectile dysfunction is a big problem. There's an oxymoron some of you are picking up on. Phone lines are open, dear listener. You can call in about what we've just chatted about with Camilla, or you can call in about absolutely anything you want. You know how it goes. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. This is the Late Night Alternative with Kath and Ian on Talk Radio.
We are Talk Radio.